Your organic search is over. Here's Naturally Savvy with health experts Andrea Donsky and Lisa Davis.
I'm Lisa Davis. My wonderful co-host Andrea is off today. I am so glad to bring in the fantastic Dr. Rebecca Timlin Scalera. She is a wife, mother, and neuropsychologist and breast cancer patient. We're going to be talking about her experience and also how she founded the Cancer Couch Foundation. Hello, Dr. Rebecca. Welcome to Naturally Savvy Radio.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
It's so nice to have you on. You know, so many of us have been through cancer with someone we love. I lost my mother, it'll be 21 years ago, to ovarian cancer. And it is so incredibly heartbreaking. And to have a place that you can go and get some support and find out some great information is really wonderful. I'm so glad that you created your Cancer Couch blog. I think it's great. You know, Dr. Rebecca, I'd love for you to tell us a bit about what happened to you.
Okay. So, you know, I'm like most of us, I would assume, just living my life. I work in healthcare. I'm 43 years old. I have two young children, and I'm a very healthy person. I do yoga, Pilates. I eat salads. I don't smoke. You know, you name it. I'm pretty much your bill of health. So I was completely blindsided when I came home from vacation last summer, ready to go back to work and kids off to school, and I was diagnosed with very advanced breast cancer. At first, they thought it was maybe just stage two, not just stage two, but stage two. Then they thought it was stage 3C because it was in, at least it was in 13 lymph nodes, so it had already gotten out of the breast. And then they thought it had gotten into my bones, and I was diagnosed at one point with stage 4 with metastatic breast cancer, which only 6 to 10% of people diagnosed with breast cancer are diagnosed at stage 4 from the beginning. So during that time, because I should tell you the better news is that in a matter of, I would say, 3 to 4 weeks, I was re-diagnosed back to stage 3C, and we're sort of with a question mark, so we're watching it. But in that time, boy, did I get an eye-opener about breast cancer. And again, coming from somebody in the healthcare field, it was really surprising to me that I didn't know the facts. And what I learned was that, you know, there is all this great momentum around breast cancer, especially in October, and there's a lot of pink awareness. And it's all wonderful in that it has gotten people to understand the importance of self-exam and what is breast cancer. And it has taken any kind of stigma away from it that used to be there. And it's really normalized it, and it celebrates people who have gone through it. But what hasn't happened, what has really lagged, is that people with metastatic breast cancer, the fatality rates haven't changed really much in decades. So 40,000 people in this country are dying a year from metastatic breast cancer. And what I also didn't realize, but when I was told the prognosis, you know, and I'm thinking about my two little kids, is that I was told the average, my average prognosis would be 3 to 5 years. And when you are re-diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, which happens to 30% of people with early stage breast cancer are eventually re-diagnosed, your prognosis is even shorter. It's 18 to 36 months. And there is no cure for this. So I was under the misperception that there was a cure for breast cancer, but that's not exactly the whole story. We've been successful at treating many, many people with earlier stage cancer who have been very lucky not to have it reoccur. But again, there's 40,000 people in this country still dying from it. That's like the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s. And, you know, I was just surprised that I was so unaware of it. Then I found out that of all the money that goes into breast cancer research, less than 7% goes towards studying metastatic breast cancer. So these people are basically just left to die. There's some treatment options, and there's always anomalies and people that do really well and beat the odds. But by and large, that's the story. These people are generally sent home with no options. And even more than that, I then found out that less than 2% of the research money goes into studying how to actually treat this. So that's where I come in. I was really outraged by this, and especially when you start meeting people that are living with this disease, I thought, I have to do something to save my own life and these amazing people. So I started this foundation, and I put the word out in the metastatic breast cancer community and said, who is researching this? Who are the top doctors? I found them. I got in touch with them. I went and visited them and their labs. Husband came with me. I got a medical advisor, and we started this foundation, and we are funding two of the top doctors in the field, in the world, and we have handpicked studies that will show results in a reasonable time frame, which is, you know, in the next 1 to 5 years, not in 20 years. And I have vowed to my donors, I am covering all the expenses of the startup of the foundation and the office. So everything that is donated goes straight to research. I'm volunteering my time to do this and covering the costs. And these institutions that we're funding, Dana-Farber in Boston and Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York City, have been so excited about what I'm doing that they've offered to match my donations that come in. So we have got all this momentum in just a matter of a few months. And I think the foundation has actually been live for just over a month, and we've already raised almost $60,000, which will then be matched.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
That is so fantastic.
Really exciting.
I have to ask, how are you feeling? I mean, emotionally, I mean, you've been through so much, and I know that it can really take a toll.
It has been. I mean, for me, and, you know, it's interesting. One of the things I'm doing with my website is I'm interviewing patients with breast cancer, usually, mostly metastatic breast cancer, because I want to get their stories out there, and I want people to put names and faces to the numbers that I just gave you, because, you know, it's 1 in 8 women will get invasive breast cancer, 1 in 8. Everybody knows more than 8 women. And then 30% will eventually get metastatic breast cancer. But I want people to know the numbers, but the stories. And for me, and most of the women I've talked to, being told that your life is going to most likely be cut very short, you get sort of laser beam focused on what you want to do with the rest of your life and how you want to leave your mark. And for me, this is it. This just became crystal clear. Once I saw this disparity in the research and I felt what it was like to have someone tell you might have 3 years to live when you have a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old, to me, this just became crystal clear that this is what I'm going to do with my life. And I'm working. My problem is that I'm kind of, when you're so passionate about what you do, it's hard to go to sleep and not keep doing it 24 hours a day. So I'm trying to keep it to about 20 hours a day, but I am doing this around the clock. I'm so excited about it. And I'm really optimistic that we actually might be able to make a difference with this.
Oh, that is so incredible. You know, I really been enjoying looking at your blogs on the Cancer Couch. And I have to say the interviews, you have Patients with a Purpose, Diligent Docs, and Spouse Stories. And I really like that because it can be very challenging for the whole family. So it's interesting to hear from the spouses as well.
Absolutely. And I have to get going on those interviews because while the headings are up there, the interviews are still being edited, but they will be up soon. And I hope people enjoy the blog and the website because it's not just to donate. It's also I have treatment tips and I have a lot of funny stories, which is how this all started. I just started writing stories about my experience and started getting a following and people asking me to write more. And so then it kind of snowballed into this platform, which has now become both a place to share humor and stories and also to get people aware of the numbers and of the research discrepancy and hopefully to donate and get involved. And we have some great events coming up. We have a big concert in September with the band The English Beat, if you remember them from the 80s.
They're
still around.
Oh my gosh, I totally do.
Yes, they're awesome. So if you can get to Connecticut then, we would love to have you at the event. It's going to be really exciting. And that's going to be our big annual fundraiser. But, you know, so many people in the community have come forward to host events already that it's just, it's great. It's going really, really well.
Oh, it sounds fantastic. And by the way, I just want to mention before I let you go, under the organic beauty section, which I think is great, you mentioned Karen Sullivan or Corinne and her Pretty Wellness. I love that site. I'm actually going to be having her on the show. So
wonderful.
Such a small world. Give us,
she's
lovely.
Also
give
on
us
my
all
board.
The ways we can learn more. Oh, nice. Oh,
yeah, she's on the board of my foundation. Yeah, she's wonderful. Terrific.
Oh, good. Well, tell us all the ways we can learn more.
I think if you go onto my site, I have a list of Friends of the Cancer Couch, and those are other foundations and websites where you can learn more information. But I really have a lot of information on there with the basic numbers and statistics and treatment tips. So just explore the website and the links that I have on there.
All right. Well, Dr. Rebecca, thank you so much. I want to thank everyone for listening to Naturally Savvy. Take care and stay well.